You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Thank you so much for listening. Big show for you today, October 1st. It's the month of the October surprise. What could it possibly be? I have a few thoughts. We'll go there as well. And the breaking news internationally, Iran has launched ballistic missiles against Israel. We'll go there in the next hour. Friend of ours, Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. Sticking around for a couple of segments. Maggie, thank you for doing so. And right off the top, pardon me, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. Hey, Josh, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Great to talk to you again.
Great to be on here. Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate it. Josh, we spoke last in person at the DNC, so it's been a little time. And I got to tell you, man, if we catch up about what's been going on, that was a hell of a convention. But since then, Josh, and we haven't spoke yet, we got a VP debate coming up today, but I want to get your sense of the last debate, the one perhaps only presidential debate between Harris and Trump. I thought that went very well. I have great hope for today. What was your take on the Harris-Trump debate?
Well, I think Kamala Harris just absolutely dominated that debate. I mean, she was poised, she was thoughtful, she was prepared, and she laid out a plan for a new way forward for the country, one that works to lower costs for families and protects our freedoms, and as she says, gives people the opportunity not just to get by, but to get ahead. And in Donald Trump, you saw somebody who is completely unprepared to be president. He showed that he couldn't avoid taking the bait and got into debates about whether people left his rallies early. He couldn't articulate an agenda. He tried to walk away from some of these right-wing ideas in Project 2025, but the reality is that's the blueprint for a second Trump term, and that means cutting Social Security and Medicare. It means getting rid of the Department of Education and restricting people's fundamental rights. So that's why he's now not willing to participate in a second debate. He is ducking Kamala Harris. And I think she's really shown that the whole idea that he's tried to promote of him being a winner and, tough is really just him masquerading and pretending to be something he's not.
Josh Call, Attorney General, great state of Wisconsin, the vice presidential debate happening today. What's your expectation? What do you think Walz needs to do in order to win that debate versus Vance? What are you hoping to take away from this?
Well, first, I think we're going to see a really clear contrast. Tim Walz is somebody who, although he's not from Wisconsin, he's from our neighboring state. He's really got Wisconsin values. This is somebody who was a teacher who has had a big impact on the lives of his students. It's been really moving to see a lot of his former students talk about what a big impact he has. And he's really lived a life of service. He continues to serve his community. He did that in Congress, and he's doing that as governor. And he is about strengthening the middle class and helping other people. J.D. Vance, in contrast, is, I think, one of the weakest candidates ever to be on a presidential ticket. And I think he's going to have a lot of pressure today because nobody thinks Donald Trump is really setting the policy agenda if he's elected president. It's going to be J.D. Vance, and this is a guy who very much is on board with the Project 2025 agenda. This is somebody who has made all sorts of offensive comments, attacking different people, and I think we're going to see a very stark contrast at the debate.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Got Maggie Dawn with me as well. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call on the line. You brought up the attacking of different groups. Of course, the Haitians have come under attack from Donald Trump and from J.D. Vance. I want to get your sense, before we get into the efforts from some of the activist groups in the Haitian community trying to sue or to bring criminal charges against Trump and Vance, the presidential debate. There was some discussion on to whether and how much should the media, Josh, be fact-checking in real time what these candidates are saying. I just want to get a sense of how you think that should go down.
Well, one of the problems with Donald Trump in general is, you know, he has taken advantage of the norms that have been in place for a long time. And prior to Donald Trump, you know, there was a basic understanding that candidates, whether they were Democratic candidates or Republican candidates, were going to tell the truth. Now, you know, politicians have always stretched the truth. They've always exaggerated. But we've never had somebody who fundamentally spewed lie after lie. And yet that's what we've seen from Donald Trump. And so I do think it does a disservice to viewers to create the suggestion that here are two equal choices. Here are two choices where either may be telling the truth or may not be, when in fact you've got, you know, Kamala Harris, who is telling the truth. You're going to have Tim Walz tell the truth. And then you have a stream of lies. So I think having journalists actually do their jobs as journalists, make sure they are providing context and facts, should be part of the debate. I know that we've seen some suggestion that that's not going to happen tonight. I'm disappointed if that's the case. But, you know, the goal of our media is not to sit by idly. It's not to pretend that things are the same when they're different. It's to be objective, and it's to pursue the truth. And I hope that we see that throughout the rest of this campaign.
Josh Call, Wisconsin's Attorney General. I got one more question before I let Maggie jump in here. I mentioned that lawsuit brought forward from the Haitian community, some activist groups in Springfield, Ohio. Apparently, Ohio has laws on the books that citizens and groups can bring criminal charges. And certainly it seems like, given the impact of those lies in that community, schools being shut down, you know, municipal buildings being shut down, a real impact from those lies continuing to this day with death threats and bomb threats and all the things. What's your sense of that criminal filing, Josh?
Yeah, you know, the system that they have in Ohio appears to be somewhat different from the one that we have in Wisconsin. But I'll say a couple of things. One is, we have really strong protections in the United States for the ability to speak freely. And that includes the ability to convey misinformation. It includes the ability to make comments that you or I may very well find repugnant. And overall, that's been a good thing for our country, because making sure that the government is not in the business of telling people what they can say or what they can believe is fundamentally part of living in a free society.
Yeah.
At the same time, we all have responsibilities as voters. Certainly those of us who are in public office have a responsibility to convey when somebody is demonizing people and making false statements, and to call them out for that, because just like we rely on free speech to protect the ability to communicate freely, we also rely on it to respond to those threats. And seeing people like Trump and Vance make these baseless comments and target groups of people, it's disgraceful, and we cannot stand for it. So it's important that we have people speak out against it and condemn it. We've seen a failure from a lot of Republicans who should be condemning these. There have been some highlights. The governor in Ohio has spoken out against this, but we really need to see people stepping up and standing up for the well-being of our fellow citizens.
Attorney General Josh Call, to that very point, what do you, in general, I'm not asking you about specific actions you or your office are taking, but we've seen actions by different attorneys general across the country to push back when there have been, frankly, threats of harm to election workers and coordinated fraud, conspiracies to alter election outcomes. What role do you think district attorneys and attorneys generally play in ensuring that our election system are fair, and that Democrats and Republicans are playing on an even playing field?
Well, first, I think it's critical that people are communicating to the public about the facts that are out there, what the law is, and what people can expect to see. And what I mean by that is, in 2020, we were concerned that there may be voter intimidation at the polls. Donald Trump had made a lot of concerning comments about that. So I communicated, I did a number of interviews where we talked about what Wisconsin law was regarding voter intimidation, that it was a crime to intimidate voters, and that if people committed that crime, they should expect to be held accountable. That remains the case, but it's also true now that we've seen a lot of attacks on our election officials. And again, people have a First Amendment protected right to share their views, even if they are incorrect or uninformed. But what they don't have a First Amendment right to do is to engage in criminal threats. And if people make criminal threats, again, they need to expect to be held accountable. We also need to talk about how secure and safe our system is. You know, in Wisconsin, our system has been tested over and over and over again, whether it's the statewide recount in 2016, the recount in two counties in 2020, the Gableman investigation, or the lawsuits trying to overturn the election in 2020, which my office defended and won every one of. Our system has been tested and it's been shown to work. So again, we need to step up, ideally in a bipartisan fashion, and tell people the truth, which is that our system works and that voters can trust that the results reflect the will of the voters.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call and Maggie Dawn for just a couple of more minutes. Josh, Jack Smith put forward a 180-page case summary in the Donald Trump January 6th case trial. Now, Trump is going to try to get, you know, that either thrown out or heavily redacted. Jack Smith, you know, has other plans. The judge will make their determination. But what do you think, as a guy in law enforcement, what do you think is appropriate in this case?
Well, first, I think the U.S. Supreme Court made a huge mistake in their ruling on presidential immunity. Certainly, the limited immunity in certain circumstances is reasonable. But what the court did in this case went way beyond what I expected, and I think what most people expected, in a way that creates a really concerning situation where presidents have broad immunity to break the law. It's something that's really concerning, given the possibility of there being another Trump administration. Now, that being said, the federal prosecutors working on this case have to act based on the Supreme Court's ruling, and that's exactly what they're doing in that case. You know, I'm glad to see them moving forward, taking action. And because of what the U.S. Supreme Court said, which is that you've really got to go through piece of evidence by piece of evidence to make a decision about where immunity applies, the approach that Jack Smith's team is taking seems to be a smart one. And you know, I hope that the public has the opportunity to see what information was filed there.
Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I know you've been making the rounds. Look forward to the vice presidential debate tonight. I will grab the popcorn and we'll catch up real soon. Appreciate you spending time with us today.
Thanks for having me on the program.
All right. Thank you, Josh Call, Attorney General from the great state of Wisconsin. Maggie Dawn coming back in the next segment. We will get updated. I got some more questions for you, Maggie. Good to see you. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. I want to thank Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call for coming around, making the rounds today. I want to thank Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, sticking around for a couple of segments. Maggie, you know, one of the questions we didn't get to, and Cody from the WMDX text line was busting chops. Ask him about the cheese, bro. Pressure him on the fake electors. Well, of course, we know the answer already, Maggie. We can't comment on existing, you know, cases.
But I asked him in my show. I asked him.
And what was the reply?
I cannot comment on what may or may not be being investigated.
Right, right. Can we ask?
He's got to say it.
Can we ask him if he wanted to take today as an opportunity to maybe name some unindicted co-conspirators? You know, there's some other folks that were involved, but we didn't go there. I knew what the answer would be, and I wanted to not waste the question on that. But what's your sense, Megan, where those cases are right now? The Kenneth Cheesebro, the fake electors, and who is the other guy? Troupas?
Yeah, Jim Troupas, Bob Spindell. It's the whole lot of the election fraudsters in Wisconsin. And I'm going to use that term, Dom, because last week on my show, we had Heather Cox Richardson on, a noted historian. She made a distinction, and I think it's an important one, that we can start to adopt and embrace. And she made the distinction between voter fraud, which is someone who is not legally entitled to vote, casting a vote, mm-hmm. or casting two ballots, of which there has never, despite decades worth of research by every conservative think tank you can think of, there has never been any evidence of any voter fraud that would have had any impact on any election. Dog catcher to president, zero, zippa, nada, yeah. zilch. And she made a distinction between that and election fraud, which is a party or group of people undertaking, coordinated or not, attacks on the election system and drawing into doubt in voters' minds the integrity of our election system. And let me remind everybody that Christopher Krebs, the Donald Trump appointed technology czar, yeah. responsible for making sure that our software and the systems of our elections in the United States that are operated locally, because that's the way our Constitution assigned the responsibility to run elections, said it was the most secure election in U.S. history. That is a Donald J. Trump appointee. His name is Chris Krebs. Go fact check it. The election fraud that is engaged by MAGA cult members because they actually want to end our democratic republic is now well documented. I think Democrats can and should talk about election fraud. It ain't election fraud by Democrats. It ain't people who are non-citizens voting. By the way, we don't need a law that says that. That's been the law forever. There were congressional acts in the 90s that reaffirmed those things. The election fraud that's occurring in this country is being done by people like Bob Spindell, Jim Troupas, Senator Ron Johnson, and people like Congressman Tom Tiffany, again, trading in election lies just this past 2 weeks.
Maggie Dawn, the ballots being printed already didn't stop RFK Jr. from wanting Wisconsin to somehow, you know, write his name off or take his name off the ballots in the state of Wisconsin. But in other states, apparently he wanted to be on the ballot, even though he's no longer running. I'm not sure how to digest this one. I think it's pretty hard to get on the ballot. You got to, you know, go through the process to do that. Should it be as hard to remove oneself from the ballot, in your opinion, Maggie Dawn?
Well, get it right the first time. Okay. If you want to run for president, be sure that you want to run for president before you go out there and tell everybody that this is what you want to do and create tens of thousands of volunteers. And by the way, RFK Jr. should basically be looked into for not just election fraud, but vaccine fraud, business fraud. I'm being a little glib here. I don't mean that entirely literally, but the guy trades in complete lies and misinformation. And when called on it, says the exact opposite of things that he's said before. This is more of that, right? Like, yeah. I want to be president. I don't want to be president. I don't support Donald Trump, but then I do because I want to be in his cabinet. Come on, RFK. Your uncle and your father are literally rolling over in their graves. Basically, almost your entire family has disowned you. Shame, sir. Shame.
Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network. And on Tuesdays, hanging out, doing some overtime with Dom for a couple segments. The vice presidential debate, Maggie, what are you looking for? What are you hoping to see? What do you think a successful debate for Walz will look like?
Showing up and being Tim Walz will be a successful debate. Okay? Yeah. I mean that literally. Here's who we've got, right? We've got an everyman, and we've got a bought and paid for billionaire bro who's in their pockets, right? We've got a principled man, and then we've got the elite of the elites of the elites. We've got a humble man who spent his life in service. And we got a guy who has nobody else's interest except his own in mind. Tim Walz just needs to go out there and be Tim Walz, and he'll win this debate.
And the media. We talked briefly with Attorney General Josh Call about, you know, fact-checking, you know, some of these issues. Of course, the eating the dogs and the cats, the Haitian hatred that was spewed by Vance and by Trump and all these other megas. I'm assuming that will come up tonight in topic within the debate. How hard should the media be, you think, on this if he's out there not, you know, being truthful about it?
Well, you know he's going to lie. I mean, y'all lie. That's what you do. It's the only way you can try to win, because you can't win on policies or facts. Shame on you, CBS. Do your damn job. If you want to host a debate, if you want tens of millions of people to tune in, then you have a responsibility. And oh, by the way, hey, FCC, like, why is this okay? Why is it okay to allow presidential candidates to spew hate speech and lies at the American people without a fact check? You know, the airwaves are held in public trust, full stop. By the way, I hope Uncle Tim Walz hits JD with some of the FBI verified and confirmed statistics that came out yesterday. All violent crime down year over year by 10.3%. Thank you, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Thank you, Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Fridays, doing a little OT with Dom here. Always a pleasure. Have a great time at the debate tonight. Folks, come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening and participating. 855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb, he texts in. This is some interviews now with Call. Makes me want Maggie to primary him more. Wow, Troy. I guess Maggie will take the compliment, but I don't know if she wants that crappy job. Appreciate you listening. 855-75-CIVIC. Donald Trump. In Wisconsin again today, man. He loves Wisconsin. It's the cheese curds and the beer and the baseball. Grobers. And so he came to town. He came to Wisconsin and went to, if you can believe it, Dane County. Marxist Socialist Republic of Dane County. He dared to step into Dane County.
I'm surprised, like, just his skin didn't burn off.
It's like,
isn't it?
It's like me going to church.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that kind of what happens?
Something like that. Apparently, he has his speech is over, the Wanakee speech. He apparently spoke for about an hour and 15 minutes, wrapping up his speech at 3:20 p.m. Remember, early voting is underway, he told the crowd. So vote, vote, vote. You got to get going. You got to get going. Apparently, he's a big fan of the early voting now. And for all you folks out there, Donald Trump will be now going to Milwaukee. Apparently, Doug Emhoff is also in Milwaukee. Kamala Harris scheduled to go to the Fox Valley area on Thursday. So we in the Badger State, we are getting lots and lots of attention. A little bit of the reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. What did Trump talk about today? Well, let's see some of the highlights. Trump again criticizes prisoner swap involving WNBA star Brittany Griner. Because, of course, he did. What else do you have to say? Trump falsely claims immigrants are being signed up to vote. There's a reason why they let all these people in, because they want to get them to vote, Trump said. Yeah, that's not a thing. Tommy Thompson, poor guy, man. So Tommy Thompson was apparently there today as well. Different reporting from the Raw story. During the rally, Thompson gave a fiery speech about how Trump could win the state. God, I love you, Thompson shouted at the crowd. And my two young granddaughters who are here with their mega hats on, stand up and be counted. I don't know if I'd be so proud of that. So ladies and gentlemen, Tommy Thompson said, I just got a call. Trump says, get the hell off the stage. God love you. God love the Republicans. God love Donald J. Trump, the next president of the United States. God love Wisconsin and God love the United States of America. Let's take it back, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do it. Let's go.
Oh, man.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no. And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, Donald Trump calls you on your cell phone and you're on stage at his rally and tells you to get your hell ass off the stage. Oh, Tommy Thompson, man. That sucks. I mean, like, I treat you like that. You know, I mean, Tommy, he has a Republican, but Tommy had a lot of love, still has a lot of love in this state, albeit misguided right now. God love Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump. But okay, I guess he's Republican and Tommy Thompson's Republican, so okay. But then you let the guy treat you like that, man. That's the problem.
Sooner what example later, are you setting for those granddaughters, eh?
Not a very good one, I would say. When you allow those granddaughters to be in a room alone with Donald Trump, I don't think so. Let alone treating folks like that. But, you know, that's how it is. It's all about Donald. It's not about Tommy. It's not about the audience. It's all about Donald Trump. So he dissed, you know, one of Wisconsin's favorite governors, although a Republican. Trump falsely claims there was a coup when Harris became the Democratic nominee. Now, Donald Trump should know a little bit about coups.
He should.
He's being, you know, investigated, charged with something along those lines. Perhaps not as dastardly as a full-on coup, but it was a soft coup, a little coup, a administrative coup, perhaps. But I would suggest that the foot soldiers that were trashing the Capitol at Donald Trump's bequest, and when Donald Trump sat there for 3 hours and did nothing while his supporters peacefully and patriotically attacked the police officers, I think he has something to account for. We'll get into some of that as well. Again, Jack Smith's 180-page case summary. Donald Trump doesn't want that anywhere near the public. And it's October, and this is the month of the October surprise.
Sure is.
Yeah, baby. So we'll see. We'll get into that a little bit more later. Let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. Trump claims that 50,000 people were turned away from Prayer to Shane rally. 50,000.
50,000.
Oh, my gosh. Here's a little bit from Hope Carnup at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. After taking the stage at Dane Manufacturing, Trump claimed 50,000 to 60,000 were turned away from a Saturday rally at Prairie du Chien. I mean, why not 100 million people? After about 1,000 people.
1 billion people.
1 million. About 1,000 people were standing in line to get into the rally, but the auditorium sat somewhere near 300 people. The rally initially was planned to be held outdoors, but switched to indoors over Secret Service staffing concerns. The agency was responsible for securing the United Nations General Assembly Summit in New York on the same day. And Trump still mad about that. What else we got? I think that's kind of gives you the lowlights of it. And now for the good news. For the good news, he's going to do it in Milwaukee.
Goody.
Discovery World, beautiful Lake Michigan. He will be there. He's scheduled to be there around 5, 6 o'clock, something like that.
Maybe you can take a walk around, learn something about how the natural world works.
I mean, he's the predator, you are the prey. He knows how it works, man.
Ew.
It's all about Trump, Trumpity Trump, Trump, Trump.
Gross.
And everybody else's last. See how that works? The natural order of things. The natural order of things. So there's more to it, but let's get to the phone lines. 855-752-4842. Mark, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
You know, it comes to mind Jackson Brown's old song, "Won't You Stay Just a Little Bit Longer?" And for Trump, I mean, I'd like to flip that on. Don't you stay any longer? I mean, that everybody should mind that guy is out there talking. I heard part of his speech today, the part on was broadcast on this fine network, and nothing I could find any kernel of. There was truth twisted up in there so much that it was just complete falsehoods after falsehood after falsehood. I mean, and it's sad when I mean, I don't spend 100% of my time paying attention to the news, but I glean enough out of it to know that the Afghanistan thing, he sowed the seeds for that. I mean, that he betrayed the Kurds and turned them over to the tender mercies of the Turks, and, you know, sold Adnan Khashoggi's to Bonesaw. I mean, that
I mean, all that history and fact, Mark. You know, I mean, who can remember all those things? Just remember, he's going to make America great again. That's all you need to remember. And he's got the concept of a plan for a replacement for the Affordable Care Act.
He has the concept of a plan for everything.
Well, yeah, don't we all?
Don't we all?
You know, best laid plans. You can't wreck the plans if you don't have a plan. See,
you're so right, Dom.
See what I'm saying? More reporting from Trump's speech today in Waunakee, Wisconsin. The headline over at the Raw story, Trump complains about crowd size before mentioning North Carolina flood victims or attack on Israel. Because, you know, you start out with the lead, right? The
right. Big Those story. Are all equally important.
Well, no, the crowd size way more important.
You're,
yes.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
You know what he talks about is crowd size. Remember Obama did the crowd size.
My favorite thing about Obama doing that was the little glance down at his hands as if he was surprised that his hands were doing that.
The crowd thing.
Crowd thing.
Trump gave a speech on Tuesday where he again complained about the size of a crowd at one of his recent rallies, even before mentioning the victims of Hurricane Helene or Iran's missile attack on Israel. Trump began his speech in Waunakee, Wisconsin, noting that he had spoken in the state just days earlier. You know, we were up here on Saturday, the former president explained. We had a group. I think it was maybe 50 or 60,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were not afforded the luxury of having enough security not because of Secret Service, but because of Washington, I spoke in front of about 700 people, he complained. And 50 or 60,000 people weren't able to see. I think they still love me, but we have to make sure. We have to make sure. That was the political opponent saying, we don't want him having a crowd like that. And then moments later, Trump spoke about the flooding in North Carolina. And as you know, North Carolina was just devastated. But not as devastated as I was. I couldn't get my 60,000 fans in the room. But, you know, pretty devastated. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. As you know, Trump said, North Carolina was just devastated. They don't have anything. Towns were flooded. Asheville is, as you know, totally underwater. Big place. Massive numbers of lives were lost yesterday, the day before yesterday, and still counting. But
these are the ones that he said they were going to be fine.
They'll be fine. So, I mean, I guess what's the point of that? Well, it just goes to show you once again where Donald Trump's mindset is. It is 100% on Donald Trump. And he still cannot get over the crowd size thing. He to exaggerate, 50 or 60,000 people. Come on, man. It wasn't that. I mean, there's media there. There's videos there. You can do a crowd estimate. It was not 50 or 60,000 people. Does that matter? I mean, it's gotten to the point where it almost like it doesn't. And this is what's very concerning. Oh, it's just Trump being Trump. It's just Trump exaggerating. It's just Trump lying. It's just Trump, you know, pulling the wool over your eyes. It's just the MAGA. It's just how it is now. He's just being boisterous. He's being sarcastic. He's goofing around. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he says, because as long as he says it, he wants to believe it, and he wants you to believe it. And whether or not you can see for yourself, if you were there, folks, if you're in a crowd of 50 or 60,000 people, you know it. That's a big crowd. You know, it's not a little concert venue of a few hundred people. You know, you've been out. You know a crowd. You've been to football games. You know what I'm saying? You've been to your kids' basketball games. You know what crowds look like. And 50 or 60,000 people, a little town like that, was not happening. But it was so important to him that when he got up, in the midst of coming to the Wisconsin to convince people to vote for him, to show his leadership, to show why he should be the chief administrator in this country, just had, of course, we know, Helene, this terrible, devastating, we're still feeling the effects of hundreds of people missing, this hurricane hitting this country, and Donald Trump's first words out of his mouth was crowd size.
Crowd, duh.
Crowd size. Crowd size. 855-752-4822. I have some more reporting. I guess I'm kind of teased on this a little bit when I was talking to Josh Call, the media. And then we've talked about this sane washing quite a bit. And I don't want to be a part of that, but I also don't want to, you know, harp on it. So I don't know what the right balance is. You know, I was never trained in this.
You weren't trained in how to cover a megalomaniac who just says the most bizarre stuff.
the most bizarre stuff. And as he, as mentioned, when he was in Wisconsin recently, Prairie du Chien, not a town of 50,000 people or 60,000 people, to my knowledge, he talked about the purge. He talked about crime running rampant. And as Maggie Dawn mentioned, crime statistics are out. They're low. They're down. They're trending in the right direction. They're lower now than they were under Trump. I mean, granted, lots of mental anguish and difficulties during a global pandemic. Man, that was weird. It's still kind of blurry for me. But he talked about, you know, this outrageous crime rate. We have a little cut from it. Let's play that, if you would, please, Jess. Donald Trump endorsing the purge.
You know, these are smart people. They're not so stupid, but they have to be taught. Now, if you had one really violent day, like a guy like Mike Kelly, put him in charge, Congressman Kelly, put him in charge for one day. Mike, would you say, he's right here, he's a great congressman, would you say, Mike, that if you were in charge, you would say, oh, please, don't touch them, don't touch them, let them rob your store, let all these stores go out of business, right? They don't pay rent, then the city doesn't have money. The whole, it's a chain of events that's so bad. One rough hour, and I mean real rough, the word will get out, and it will end immediately. End immediately. You know, it'll end immediately.
There you go. There is a president or a presidential candidate endorsing the purge. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Michael Tomasi at the New Republic. Oops, they did it again. The mainstream media buries Trump's outrage. We're not going to bury it. We're going to talk about it. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. It's a phone number. It is a text line. We got Jess working hard on the board and on the lines for you, 855-75-CIVIC. Mentioned the New Republic, Michael Tomasky's report. Oops, they did it again. The mainstream media buries Trump's outrage. The former president spent the weekend spewing dangerous nonsense at a rally. The press spent its weekend polishing it into palpability. And again, this is the rally that he was at in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. A little bit from this piece, and we will discuss. As Tomasky writes, it's a pretty sad commentary in the way our mainstream media cover Trump, that if you really want to know what Trump said at a given rally, you'd be wasting your time going to the New York Times or the Washington Post, and you really need to read Aaron Rupar. Who's Rupar? I love this guy, by the way. He's a liberal substacker and a prolific tweeter who prints all the news the New York Times doesn't deem fit to print. The latest case in point is Trump's weekend rally in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, an appropriately named venue for a speech in which Trump was barking out hatred and bile like a mad dog. If you're the sort of person really steeped in campaign coverage, you may have read about what went down. If you missed it, spoiler alert, Trump said something at this rally so insane and offensive that even the Times finally roused itself to cover it. Trump called Kamala Harris mentally disabled and added, quote, Joe Biden became mentally impaired. Kamala was born that way. Now, that statement, whatever else we might call it, was obviously news, so the Times couldn't help leading with it. Diddle the Post, which decided to produce a story that emphasized Trump's violation of politically correct manners. The Post piece quoted a mental health advocate scolding Trump for his insensitive language, as if what he said was offensive only to people struggling with mental illness. Meanwhile, here are some other things Trump said at the rally. Again, in Wisconsin. And I would suggest go to Aaron Rupar's Twitter feed. It is pretty awesome. I do send you some of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he cuts it up, man. He'll pull up the YouTube or whatever the video is, and he'll put it in nice chunks, nice little digestible chunks of the craziness. And here are some of the things that Trump said in Wisconsin. Not today. Oh, no. This was over the weekend. These people are animals, referring to migrants. Quote, I will liberate Wisconsin from this mass migration invasion of murderers, rapists, hoodlums, drug dealers, thugs, and vicious gang members. We are going to liberate our country. Another quote. You got to get these people back where they came from. You have no choice. You're going to lose your culture. And finally, this gem, Tomasky writes, quote, they will walk into your kitchen. They'll cut your throat. Now let's think about this one for a minute. Here is a man who wants to be president of the United States, saying of immigrants, all immigrants, women, children, old people, everyone, that they will invade your home and attack you in one of the most violent and painful and terrifying ways possible. They will cut your throat. Well, Tomasky writes, maybe it's just me, but I find that shocking, even coming from Trump. It's one thing to say that Mexico is, quote unquote, sending rapists, as he infamously did in 2015, even making a general statement about how these people come here and commit crimes, while bad enough, isn't nearly as bad as this. This is saying directly to every American that they will break into your house and cut your throat. That sure seems like news to me, yet it didn't appear in either the Times or the Post account. The Times piece did have a sentence noting that Trump continued to vilify, quote unquote, migrants and called them stone cold killers. So let's give them that at least.
But that's not anywhere near enough.
No, it's not. Cut their throat. But the plain implication of Trump's statement here is that migrants are an imminent threat to one's safety. This is an unambiguous indictment to preemptive violence. How can such a vicious statement not be thought of as news? As Michael Tomasky writes at the New Republic, here's how. If your definition of news is simply that which is new, get it, N-E-W, new, then maybe okay. Calling his opponent, who happens to be the sitting vice president of the United States, mentally disabled, was new, and ergo, it was news. That I get. But Trump attacking migrants isn't new. Obviously, I would argue that a candidate for president raising the specter of people breaking into people's homes and cutting their throats is new. Perhaps reasonable minds can differ on this, I guess. But if that isn't new, it isn't news. But what if your definition of news is a little broader than that? What if you say news is any meaningful piece of information that may be relevant to voters as they prepare to make their decision about whom to vote for? This is a reasonable and, in fact, better definition of news than simply that which is new because it's reality. Trump constantly saying extreme, racist, violent stuff can't always be new, but it is always reality. Is the press justified in ignoring reality just because it isn't new? Are we not allowed to consider his escalations as dangerous, novel developments in and of themselves? And should we not note the coincidence that his remarks seem more escalatory as the pressures of the campaign mount? Now, Tomasky says, I know the mainstream media really doesn't want to go there, but whether Trump is mentally fit to serve 4 years in the world's toughest job is a real and pressing question, but the press won't raise it. That is to say, they have lately lost their taste for it. Not long ago, the press was perfectly comfortable talking about Joe Biden's age. That seemed like a pretty urgent matter, but they absolutely will not talk about Trump's mental fitness. Say what you want about Biden's struggle with age. He never once threatened an entire group of human beings with political violence. There's more to the piece at the New Republic. Again, I'd go there as well. Aaron Rupart on Twitter.
Linked in the podcast.
Excellent.
Notes.
They are lining them up and knocking them down and asking some very legitimate questions. Dude said migrants are coming in and going into your home and cutting your throat. Imminent danger. Didn't read that, did you? Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. 855-752-4842. Coming back with your calls and the Iranians bombing Israel.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.